The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Listener says about estate agents, I'm currently bidding again and yet another house. Is there any way to check if the other bids are genuine? We're in a good position financially for the houses we're bidding on, but crazy bids are coming in, especially new bidders at the last minute. I'm starting to doubt how genuine they are. Charlie Weston, personal finance editor of the Irish Independent, is with us. Charlie, tell us about the trouble the estate agent Savills is in over its actions in Lucan and County Dublin.
That's right, Matt. Savills has introduced a controversial move. They're selling houses in the Somerton development in Lucan in County Dublin, and they're saying to the 5,000 people who've expressed an interest, they've sent them an email saying, we need proof of funds. Now, that's fairly standard, but I suppose what's different here is the level of detail they're asking for, Matt. They're saying they don't want just a letter from the bank saying you have approval in principle. They want more detail than that, and they don't want the amount redacted, which would be common enough. I mean, people are often advised, if you're bidding for a house, show the letter to prove from the bank that the bank's given you an approval, but redact the amount. Savills are saying, no, we want the full evidence that you have, you know, and the amount that you're approved for. They're also saying, look, if you're availing of the Help to Buy scheme, you may also need to provide details on that. If you're getting a gift from a parent, that kind of thing. So they're saying, look, the level of detail will include that kind of evidence of savings that you have for the purchase. And if you're purchasing with cash, you need a bank statement or a letter from your solicitor confirming funds are available. It's fairly detailed.
Are they allowed to do this?
Well, the data commissioner is looking at it at the moment, and a complaint has been made about this to the data commissioner, complaining that this is just too much, and the data commissioner has confirmed that they're looking at it.
What excuse is Savills giving for itself in relation to this?
Well, you know, Savills are saying, look, you know, there's 44 houses just in the first phase. It's going to be a much bigger scheme, but it's just one show house at the moment. There's 5,000 people who've expressed an interest. This shows you how crazy the market is at the moment. And they need to weed out the tire kickers. They don't want the messers, the kind of nosy parkers who turn up at every viewing in normal pre-pandemic times and want to have a look around and see how much the house is. But they're not really interested in buying. So some first-time buyers think, well, this is fine. You know, just gets rid of those messers and just concentrate on the real people who are genuinely interested in purchasing. But others are saying, look, this is just an invasion of privacy. It's too much. The Minister for Housing has taken against it as well. He Darrell O'Brien's not happy about it. And the Data Protection Commissioner has been in touch with Savills. Savills confirmed to me that they have been asked, their compliance people have been asked, what's this data going to be used for? And Savills are saying, look, it's not going to be used and kept as a database where, you know, they can now see how much you can afford to bid, that they would delete any data once these houses are sold. But the data commissioner wants to know, you know, how this will be handled, where it will be stored, etc. And, you know, there's a number of questions around it. So it's just a level of detail being asked for here, Matt. It's not unusual to ask for proof of funds, but to ask for this amount and that type of micro detail just seems very heavy-handed and shows you how much the whole process is stacked against the ordinary first-time buyer. You know, the banks make it difficult to get a mortgage. The central bank has strict lending criteria and limits. Developers and builders, you know, they're set the prices, and the government gets a lot of tax out of a first-time buyer. And then you have the state agents dictating terms to first-time buyers as well. So it really is tough for first-time buyers at the moment, Matt.
You also have some new figures that came out from the CSO today which emphasise just how tough it is.
Yeah, Matt, I mean, you know, house prices are up again at the moment. I mean, they're shooting up 4.5% nationally. Outside Dublin, they're up even more than that, nearly 5.5%. And the buyers are getting older. Most of them seem to have to be joint purchasers at the moment because you need such a high level of income to qualify for a mortgage. And, you know, the income levels are very high as well, Matt. I mean, the typical age for a joint purchaser now has gone from 35 to 38 between 2010 and 2019.
Charlie, I'm just thinking that's really serious, because if many people are looking to get 30-year mortgages to actually spread out the cost of an acquisition, that brings them into their old age pension years.
It does, Matt. You know, it's getting late in the day. I mean, and for solo purchasers, it's even worse. It's gone from 34 to an average of 42. So you're absolutely right, Matt. That is a real problem. You know, we're seeing long-term mortgages being issued now with some certainty about the payments. But that's no use. As you say, if your earning days are going to be over by the time, you know, and you still have that mortgage to pay, that's not an ideal situation to be in. So, I mean,
Charlie, does that mean that it sounds, and particularly, I believe, I mean, if you have also an even older first-time buyer age for somebody on their own, that the bank won't give a 30-year mortgage, they'll say, well, actually, we're going to cut you off at the age of 65, so that means you have to complete it in 26 years or whatever. Or if you're looking to move, that many people find when they hit middle age, unexpectedly, if they're looking to sort of trade up or whatever, that suddenly they're told, well, you can't have a lengthy mortgage because we don't believe you'd be working to service that mortgage in the later years of your career.
No, that's exactly it, Matt. I mean, banks have different policies on this, but, you know, mostly they want you to have that mortgage paid off while you're still in the workforce, not while you're in, you know, in retirement when your income suddenly drops, you know, because, you know, you're on a pension. And you, so that is a real problem. This is becoming a real issue. That is incredibly high, 42 years for the typical solo purchaser, you know. So, you know, banks are going to look askance at that. You know, who's going to get a 30-35 year mortgage going into a bank at 42? They won't want to do that. And that's the typical age. I mean, you know, the median or middle age. I mean, some buyers are older, Matt.
Yeah, but think of it. How much rent are you likely to have spent before you're actually investing in your own owned property if you're waiting until that age for your first mortgage?
You will have spent a small fortune on rent. And remember, rents are generally higher than the cost of servicing a mortgage. So, you know, it's an absolutely impossible situation. People are caught in a pincer movement here where they can't, you know, there's no easy ways out of this. And some of those people will have moved back home because to save money. And so that's an intolerable situation.
Some very interesting comments coming in from listeners. One says, Charlie, is there any chance that the banks would take past rent payments as proof of ability to pay? I've been paying twice what I'd pay on a mortgage for years now.
This is a constant call, Matt, and I don't think it's unreasonable. I think your texter is absolutely right that the banks should do that. They're not currently doing it. And I think it's something that people should maybe, this person should write to the central bank at the moment. The central bank is reviewing the rules it sets for banks and how much they can loan out how much can be loaned according to your income and how much of a deposit you need. I think that's a valid point to make to the central bank in the review that they're doing at the moment, that this should be factored into somebody's ability to pay. It's, you know, especially when rents are so high, and if people can pay very high rents, they can service a mortgage, and that certainly should be taken into account. It's a good point.
Okay, other comments. Having worked in the bank for 36 years and having typed letters for customers to provide for auctioneers, I always thought the practice was appalling. It's none of the auctioneer's business whether people get the funds to buy the house apart from the mortgage approval. I've seen so many young people who've worked so hard to buy a new house only to be harassed by auctioneers for this information. It shouldn't be allowed. Here's another one, Charlie. Listener says, banks are looking at whether you have a private pension and are factoring in part of the tax-free lump sum to clear the mortgage.
Right, that's a new one on me, and that's pretty sinister. But this is what happens, Matt, when we get into a dysfunctional situation where, you know, people are struggling to get in there. There's so few houses being built, you know, and people are just about able to afford a mortgage. This is the kind of messing that goes on, and you know, it's not going to be solved quickly, but it needs to be, because otherwise, you know, people are just going to get themselves into messes. Really.
Charlie, more comments coming in. I worked in banking and mortgages. The information regarding savings, funds from parents, etc., is collected by the lender before they approve the loan. So the retailer doesn't need that information if you provide the letter of approval from the bank. That's a really, really good point.
That is a valid point, Matt. Yeah, if you turn up with a letter that says you have mortgage approval in principle from X bank, and you know whether you have the amount, you'll be well advised to redact the amount. That should be sufficient. You are mortgage approved. You're not a messer. You're not just somebody turning up just to waste time. You want to view the house. You're serious. You have funds. You know, that should be enough. The level of detail being asked here by Savills is too much, and it just shows you how skewed the whole situation is. is at the moment, how the balance of power is very much against the first-time buyer at the moment.
OK, Simon, who says he's 40 years of age, was approved last week for a 28-year mortgage, taking him to 68. He says the mortgage protection is €70 a month, and lots more comments coming in from listeners. Charlie Weston, personal finance editor of the Irish Independent, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word of Today FM. Back with the 5 at 5 after this.